liaison for the National Conference of State Legislators, will be here today to visit with legislators about NCSL services. The Wyoming Legislature pays dues to belong to NCSL, and the organization has a wealth of resources to help you with your legislative work. Mrs. Poppy will be in the House lobby or gallery this afternoon, and so if you have any questions about NCSL services or requests for information, Ms. Julie would be happy to visit with you in the lobby.
Hey, welcome. There she is. Yay!
Please welcome her to the House. Very good. The next bill for our consideration is actually Representative Northrup. Would you like a privilege of the floor?
No, I'm waiting to do the next bill.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It looks like you've done that before, maybe with markings and numbers in front of you. Well, the next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 8, introduced by Education, Student Data Privacy, Security, and Transparency, an act relating to education. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 8, Student Data Privacy, Security, and Transparency, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad to see you can read. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 8 do pass. And here with the explanation of the bill is our good representative from District 9 right here in this great town.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do a quick and brief explanation of this bill. There's a lot of information in here, but it shouldn't be too hard to go through. So if you don't mind, I'll just do a quick walkthrough with the bill and we'll proceed on. We'll move straight to page 2, and on page 2, we're just going to be adding a few words to this bill, and what we're really making sure that we do here is we're adding the words to or trade, and I guess that's actually kind of a common practice with some of the identifiable information related to education out there, so we're actually prohibiting that practice. We go on to page 3. And on page 3, lines 4 through 8, it requires the removal of personally identifiable information from any type of reporting. Lines 10 through 17 requires the establishment of guidelines for school districts for collection, access, privacy, security, and use of student data, and requires that these guidelines comply with FERPA. And it's already in place, and it shall incorporate on the following pages 3 and 4. And so what these would include is authorization and authentication mechanisms for accessing the student data, administrative, physical, and logical security safeguards such as training and data encryption, privacy and security compliance standards, processes for identification and response to data security incidents such as breaches, and standards for retention and verification of destructed student data. And then on page 4, line 20, we amend the language to give the school districts just a hair more time to work. And actually, if I look at this, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed. It'd be just fine to continue with the explanation.
Okay. And so we do have a standing committee amendment that will be moved by the chairman on this as well, but I'll go ahead and explain the amendment as it reads. We're just taking it for the effective school year date away and giving them to January 1, 2018. Chairman will explain the committee amendment.
Mr. Chairman, Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will also move the Standing Committee Amendment to House Bill Number 8, Standing Committee 1, and it will be explained as follows.
You've heard the Standing Committee Amendment. Do we have any further discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment? Question being called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill Number 8. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. All opposed say no. The amendment has passed. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And with that explanation, I will stand for any questions.
All right. Do we have any discussion on the bill? All right. A question being called and seeing no further discussion. All those in favor of Chairman Northrup's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 8 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
The ayes have it. House Bill number 8 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're going to juggle general file here a little bit. We're going to move House Bill 13 to below House Bill 33. So our next bill will be House Bill 30, then House Bill 33, then House Bill 13.
All right. Just to reiterate, House Bill 13 has been moved below House Bill number 33. So the next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 30. House Bill number 30. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 30, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, State Parks and Sites Fees, an act relating to state parks, historic sites, archaeological sites, and recreation areas. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 30, State Parks and Sites Fees, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. It was also referred to Committee Number 2, Mr. Chairman, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 30, State Parks and Site Fees. Respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Wilson, and Noes, Representative Walters. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 30 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And for an explanation of the bill, we have the representative from the River That's Green.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to dispense with the Standing Committee Amendment first. If you would look on the bill and go to page 4, you'll see on lines 3 and 4, and it says lifetime resident daily use permit at $1,500. That was deleted in the committee meeting. The reason for the deletion was that number was kind of picked out of the air. There's no science behind it, not even bad science behind it, and we thought that we would take that out rather than push something that may or may not be appropriate. So I would call for the question and ask you to vote aye on the amendment.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill number 30. Do we have any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 30, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a good bill because it takes money from no other governmental source. For those of you who ran on that government should be run like a business, this is your first opportunity to kind of vote what you have espoused. If you look at the bill on page 2, what you see is a lot of strikeouts, and what those strikeouts are saying is where the department can charge fees, they can do fees. And basically, this is done under legislative oversight. What this, the first page, or page two, deletes all the language that's was there. And then you go on to page three, and then it has, as designated by the department with the approval of the commission, they will be able to set fees for those individual parks, cultural resource sites, and anthropological sites. The nice thing about what this bill does is it sets caps. So the department can't go and just put any kind of fees willy-nilly, so to speak. But what it does do is that it has a cap, and those fees also have to be approved by a commission that will review that. What the department is planning to do is to go out and see what is a fair price and what the market will bear. There are some of these sites that we have that are that may be underpriced. There are some that are probably overpriced. And what they're trying to do is to use this fee structure to where that they can find the sweet spot, the right place of where it would go. You can look on page 3 and 4, and you can see what the caps are. Those caps are quite a bit over what we have now. We don't want to bring those bills back a lot. And so that's why they're there. The rest of the bill is basically conforming language. If you look at page 8, the department will establish methods by where voluntary contributions may be accepted. I guess that is a little bit different. They don't have a mechanism right now to where that they can accept donations, large donations. They can charge in amenities fees. So basically, if they, I'm making this up as I go, if they wanted to put Wi-Fi there, they could have a Wi-Fi fee and people could be hooked up while they're there. But that is the intentions of the amenities fees. And with that, I think I will take questions.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just want to support my colleague on this. This is a committee bill that passed out of TRW, and it would urge the body to support this. I want to give you a little bit of background for our newer members in particular. So we have the, and I want to make sure that I can, I sure can. So it deals with start state parks and sites, and the agency, got to slow down, or the department that deals with this, currently their budget's about $30 million. Of the fees that they generate about $2 million. Now, 2 years ago, you would think, you know, that they could use those fees for operations and maintenance, but they can't statutorily. In fact, 2 years ago, we changed that to allow them to use 25% of the fees collected to go towards operational maintenance, all right? So that's what we allowed them to do. But still, they can't use the bulk of these fees. And so really what the department is looking at doing is just as our my good friend over here talked about just a moment ago, is we decided to clean up some statutes and clean up some things to address some things in the bill, but we also wanted to set some caps and allow the commission, through the public process, to be nimble enough to set amenities or fees based on market conditions, perhaps seasonal conditions, in order to get the best bang for the buck. And you can see there, we do put those caps on there, and I want to make sure that members realize that the numbers that are on the bill. So if you look at page number, starting in page number 3, you start seeing the new language down there at the bottom. If you turn to page number 3 talks about a resident daily use fee. That's up to $8. We're not saying in this bill that we're raising the price up to $8. What we're saying is we're giving the commission some latitude through the public process to go ahead and raise that up if they would like to. Now, we heard testimony from the department that they're not eager to raise that up. And if they are, it's not going to be to the max. Now, I take that with a little grain of salt. That was one of the things that concerned me within the committee, hence the cap. And we've had other agencies who said, hey, give our commission the authority to deal with licenses and so on and so forth with no oversight whatsoever. And I've been opposed to such measures. But this doesn't do that. I also want to point out in here, just as it was mentioned, don't want to belabor this, but we do some cleanup. If you look at page number 6, it talks about some annual passes and whatnot. At the top of page number 6, this is carryover. We're talking about if you want to buy a duplicate annual pass, it talks about in an amount not to exceed 50% of the cost. So if you bought an annual pass but you had it for one vehicle, and by the way, when you get into most of these state parks, they do it by vehicle. So you have two vehicles and you want to put another decal or whatever in your other vehicle, it's going to cost you a little bit of extra money, but not to exceed 50%. If you lose that decal or however they choose to do this, the annual daily use permit, then it gives the department some latitude to charge not to exceed 25% starting in line 16 on page number 6. The other thing that it allows us to do is in page number 8, if you look there, right now you would think that they could accept voluntary contributions, but they can't. And so what this bill allows for, starting in page 8, line 7, the department may establish methods whereby voluntary contributions may be accepted. And you can see that there. So all in all, I think it's a good bill. I would urge the body to support this.
Do we have any further discussion? Representative Freeman? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I apologize if this was covered and I missed it. But with respect to the fees, we have had a limitation on how much of that can go to operations. And so, as was brought up, we said, I think it was 25%. As was stated, can go towards operations. And the rest goes towards improvements, and there's some policy behind that. My question is, with this increase, is that same ratio? And so I just want to make sure I'm clear on it. It looks to me like it would still be that same ratio. And then, the other component I'm looking at this is in terms of, when we raise fees to help pay for the costs of things, are we then making a corresponding decrease in a general fund dollars, which we are not doing with this bill, and maybe is left to committee number 2. So I, those two questions I'd just like to have a little discussion on.
Let's go to Representative Brown next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question as well on page 8, starting with line 13. There's a specific language that's been added to this, just expressing the option for the commission to set added amenity fees. And I noticed that in the rest of this bill, we're setting caps on these fees. And I think that's a great idea. But on page 8, we're opening it up for amenity fees. And I just didn't know if there was any talk or discussion around capping these fees that we're looking at bringing on as well.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this was a interim committee bill, and I served on that committee. I'm no longer on the committee, but I'm just going to outline a couple of things. One, to the chairman of Minerals Committee, this does not impact that proportionality that was done with the 25-75%. This has no bearing on that. The percentages stay the same. Obviously, if they generate more money, then there's more money flowing toward that 25%. But no changes were made in that. Another question that was raised was regarding the last speaker, regarding the amenities fees. There already is the ability for the commission to charge amenities fees, and the way the amenities fees are in current statute is they have to be basically to cover the cost of providing those amenities. That component is still in the statute. So they don't have an unlimited ability to raise those to bring amenity fees outside of the actual cost of providing those amenities, whether it is utilities, et cetera, and that does not include building the amenities. That is part of the 75% that the good chairman talked about. So there is not a hard number cap. because the amenities were trying to actually cover the operational costs. So those are the, I think those were the two main questions that I heard out of that. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no question that if you look at this, the statute, the current statute, and you look at the number of line outs that we have in here and the repealers on the, on page 9, the repealers, we repeal a bunch of sections here. This cleans up what we have for these, for the, this agency to deal with a whole bunch. And it gives them a lot more latitude and still requires a rulemaking process, a public process to actually carry out their mission and carry, and bring forth the value of these many amenities that the state of Wyoming has, not amenities, but these, areas, recreation areas, archaeological sites and historic sites and state parks, and gives us even better access, I would argue, for all of us, and allows them to manage it for that purpose. So I would urge your support of this, and thank you for the work that the committee did and for the work that appropriations did. Thank you.
Representative Klim. Representative Freeman, I see you going for the mic.
I like the question better, but one other thing that I think that the body should know is state fees compared to regional comparable sites are lower in Wyoming than they are in other places. And again, I would remind the body that our gems, our state gems, are being used very vigorously. In fact, during the holiday weekends, one of our reservoirs is the third largest city in the state. So with that, I call for the question.
I see Chairman Allen. All right. All right, question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Allen's motion with that, that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that bill number, House Bill number 30, do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
The ayes have it. House Bill number 30 has passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 33. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 33, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, Non-Resident Motorboats, Gasoline Tax Distribution, an act relating to gasoline taxes. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 33, Non-resident motorboats, gasoline tax distribution, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Mr. Chairman, if this bill was referred to committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 33, Non-Resident Motorboats Gasoline Tax Distribution, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do not pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Nicholas, Walters, Wilson. Noes, Representatives Larson, Schwartz, and Summers. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Allen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that bill, House Bill number 33 do pass, and to manage the bill on the floor is the good representative from the land where the bull is gray.
Oh. Wow. Excellent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Flitner.
This is an act related to taxes, and before anybody strokes out over the T word, this is an existing tax. The Motor Boat Gas Tax Program ensures taxes on fuel used by the motor boating public and that those monies go toward maintaining and developing motorboat facilities. The fuel tax for each registered resident motorboat and an estimated 5,000 non-resident motorboats is then deposited into the motorboat account. This bill would allow the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources to account for more non-resident motorboat numbers. The current 5,000 motorboat number is based on an estimate that was developed over 20 years ago. And if anybody's visited any of our state parks, our reservoirs, our waterways, you'd probably see a lot of out-of-state license plates. With the new annual Aquatic Invasive Species Report, or AIS, that's produced by the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, we now have an accurate accounting of non-resident motorboats. The current AIS report shows that non-resident motorboats is at 7,200, which is an additional $65,000 in revenue so that they could develop and maintain motorboat facilities. So they bumped that number up from 5,000 to 7,200, which means more money for them to try to maintain those facilities. The reason that it passed out of appropriations with a no vote was they felt like it was basically robbing Peter to pay Paul. And with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Excellent presentation of the bill. I recognize Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of this bill as well. Members, let me tell you what we do currently in law. Okay, so currently right now, if you look on page number 2 of the bill, it's not very long. We deduct an amount collected on fuel used in motorboats. All right, and we do that for resident and non-resident motorboats. And what we do for non-resident motorboats is we had a policy of putting it at 5,000. We didn't have a really good number. And so we set the number, albeit maybe somewhat arbitrarily, at 5,000. Well, now we actually know how many non-resident motorboats we use, and we have that number based upon the invasive species sticker. And so what we put here in the bill is this. You can see the amendment. The amendment says, and I'll read here, starting in line number 2, deduct an amount collected on fuel used in motorboats computed by multiplying the number of motorboats numbered during the current fiscal year under Wyoming statute, you can see that there, plus 5,000 non-resident motorboats, or, and this is where the amendment comes in, or the number of non-resident motorboats for which aquatic invasive species fees have been paid during the immediately preceding fiscal year, in accordance with Wyoming Statute 23-4204, whichever is greater. So what we say is, listen, if that number dips below 5,000, we're going to keep it at 5,000 and give the department credit for 5,000 non-resident motorboats. But since that number has been historically greater than that, and we do have an exact number for which that is during the preceding year, we want to give the department credit for the exact number. And really, that's what the bill amounts to. We heard testimony from DOT, and DOT did not have a problem with this bill. It was simply just a matter of computing numbers a little bit differently. And we left the effective date as of July 1st because, again, it's the preceding fiscal year and where we're getting these numbers. And so, again, I would just urge your aye vote.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would encourage you to vote no on this. I think the good presenter of the bill did a great job of explaining that this is just robbing Peter to pay Paul. This agency has figured out a way to calculate how they feel they should be paid differently. There's still no determination of true gallons of gas burned or anything else. It's still just a formula, but they're just adjusting the number they're putting into that formula from 5,000 to the number that equals the out-of-state AIS stickers that are sold. So it's still just a formula. There's still no gas, direct gas burned that goes against this. And as soon as you take, if you look at the fiscal notes, you take $65,000 away from the highway fund and from cities, towns, and counties. And so it is just simply robbing Peter to pay Paul, and this agency thing is trying to be creative in another way to get more money directed to their agency. So I would encourage you to vote no.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, two inaccurate numbers. We can challenge that. But now we have one accurate number, and we don't like that. So I say the more accurate we can be, the better we are. I support the bill. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I stand on in support of this bill. I think once new information, obviously the statute, when it was first created, contemplated a number for out-of-state use, and now we have a more refined number. Why wouldn't we use it? Why wouldn't we use it? So I stand on in support of this bill.
Representative Flitner.
I would just reiterate, I think the fact that they've not amended those, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, the fact that they've not amended those numbers for 20 years, we do know we have more non-resident usage. So while I wasn't in favor of the last bill that this department tried to push through, I do encourage that you vote yes on this one. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you. Just a question, Mr. Chairman. I'm kind of going off memory here on that formula, and it goes back to when we were working on the fuel tax in 2013. And they got a bump then, of course, because the fuel tax went up. And I'm looking at the number 2875. That apparently is the amount of tax that we're imputing per boat, right? So if we divide 2875 by 24 cents, then that would be the estimated number of gallons one of these average, or an average boat among these, 7,000 boats or whatever it is. Is that, am I on the right track on that formula?
Representative Flitner?
Mr. Chairman, you're asking me, Representative? Okay, good. Sorry.
Chairman Allen.
There you go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is my understanding, and it may be incorrect, but I think that $28.75 is a figure that was arrived at sort of thinking, and the thinking was that this is about the amount of gasoline that they'll use out there. So from that, we will take this 5,000 number, we will multiply it by that 2875, and that's the amount of tax that will go back to this program. And if I'm incorrect, I apologize.
Chairman Eklund.
Okay, something I'm still not clear on is which figures are correct. Are we taking $65,000 out of the general fund? Part of it sounds like a negative deal. I guess I'm not tracking where the money is, what this thing is costing, what we're collecting just yet. I'm sorry if I got lost at the beginning of it, I think.
We'll go with Chairman Allen.
Sure, set me up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, so it's really, I'll try to make it as simple as I can, which I may struggle with, but before we had the aquatic invasive species issue, we really had no accurate way to measure the number of non-resident motorboats that were coming into the state, and therefore assessing some sort of a fee to them to pay the department for motorboat services, launches, and things like that. Whereas we did know how many resident boats there were because they have to buy a sticker from the Game and Fish Department, the department that manages the fish and the game. So then, since that time that this law was enacted, this aquatic issue came up, and all of a sudden now we enacted a law that requires all motorboaters to buy an aquatic invasive species stamp. Then we could track this accurately. So now we realize that, in fact, the number 5,000 that's in the statute is too low because we have these new figures. So what the department did is they came to us and said, we're leaving money on the table. Now, here's where that money is not coming out of the general fund. What's happening is that money that isn't going to the program is staying with YDOT, and YDOT distributes gasoline taxes according to the statutory formula, some of which goes to counties, cities, and towns, and other places if you follow the gasoline taxes. So I hope I answered your question.
All right. Chairman Nicholas.
Well, I was OK.
Okay, that's pretty much, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That description is accurate. The reason that the use of this funds is questionable to me is pretty simple. And the problem is we can't go back and fix the formula. The formula is the problem, and the formula provides a lot of dollars to this particular agency for snowmobile trails, for boats, and for other things like that, and taking away those tax dollars that would otherwise go to highways and to other and locals. So when I saw the opportunity to say, wait a minute, we're not going to go in, this bill doesn't change the formula, but the formula really does. It's amazing. It's kind of like those federal overreach where you have a tax increase, but then all of a sudden you got 34 different things that get a little penny and a little penny and a little penny, and it doesn't turn into much of a tax increase, but you're feeding some other projects. And so my position on this was wait a minute, let's just keep this money for locals and for highways. They have more than sufficient funds to do what they need to do. It's not a lot of money. So at that, I hate to spend a lot of time and effort over it, but that was the theory behind our, or me personally, being in disagreement with this particular bill.
Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to make perfectly clear, this money is not going towards snowmobile trails or anything like that. It's very clear that this is going to the motorboat tax fund. And what that tax fund is used for, for instance, if you were to take a trip to one of our state parks and visit one of our wonderful reservoirs, in fact, the one in the northeast part of the state where I live, you can see what they've done there as far as different improvements, including the docks, bathrooms right off of the docks, and other improvements that they made to the shoreline, et cetera. And that's what this money is going toward. This money is going in particular, and it's limited by statute. It has to be used for those things that pertain in particular to where motorboats are used. So it can't be used on a creek where there is no motorboat. It has to be used where motorboats are actually used for improvements, et cetera. So just wanted to make sure that we're perfectly clear on that.
Thank you. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The answer to these questions is right in the fiscal note. We've already identified that it will increase the money to the motorboat tax fund for the purposes previously stated by around $65,000. There will be a corresponding decrease in the highway fund of $37,000 and change, which would then be distributed according to the formula across the state, cities and towns, or excuse me, highway fund, excuse me. And then the other corresponding decrease would be $27,000 and change, and that would be for cities and towns. So it's just kind of a wash. It just puts the money where it was intended originally, and it's a policy decision by this body. Vote your conscience.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it's always great to hear when you listen to everybody and you can kind of agree with the sentiment. So let me start by saying this is a good bill, but we can make it a really great bill in second and third reading with a couple of amendments. I have my own ideas, but let me talk about two briefly. If we're going to allow this to be 5,000 or above the actual number, maybe we should allow it to be whatever the actual number is. So if the number goes below 5,000 in a given year, we'll reimburse it that number. You'll probably see that on second reading. Also, we talked about the formula and the number. I think we can get some more information on that, but maybe play with that number a little bit too. So whether you like the bill or not right now, I'd ask you to vote it to second reading because I think we can make it something we can hopefully the majority of us can agree upon and make it a little better fiscal policy.
Seeing no further discussion and question being called, all those in favor of Representative Allen's motion that with the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 33 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
We'll do that one more time via voice vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
The ayes have it. House Bill number 33 has passed Committee of the Whole. Right. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 13. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 13, introduced by Representative Madden, Investment of Public Funds, an act relating to investment of public funds. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 13, Investment of Public Funds, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Nicholas?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 13 do pass. And I will turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from the MB Mountains.
Wow. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just give you the kind of the genesis of how this bill happened to fall into my lap and the co-chairman of Revenue's lap and how it came about. This bill is really a cleanup bill. It's a cleanup bill to a bill that we did last year that you might recall was Senate File 19, and that was a bill that local governments were eager to see passed because it allowed for the person or the office that manages and invests our money, the treasurer, state treasurer, to invest on behalf of local governments, okay? And that bill went through, like I say, in 2016 in a Senate File 19, and you can go to your archives of the 2016 session and see what it is. It's basically a one-page bill that said that a new investment pool would be allowed to be managed by the state on behalf of local governments if they abided by certain restrictions. One of those restrictions, as I recall, that they were going to set in rules was that it had to be, you couldn't use it as a daily checking account. It had to be a money that you weren't expected to use for an extended period of time. So it was kind of savings or extra surplus money that they had for one reason or another. And this bill, like I say, was very much appreciated by local governments. Well, what happened was, what we should have had was language in there, and this was explained to us at this interim committee meeting this summer or fall, that they forgot to put it in that short one-page bill, that Senate File 19. And all it is it's a basic addressing of the restrictions and obligations of local entities in connection with their investment of public funds. In connection with this, rules were changed so that local governments were not restricted near as bad as far as what investments they could invest in personally themselves. And the main difference is that they were to stay in fixed income, but the fixed income could be in corporate bonds and things like this. So another rule that is required before the treasurer's office can work on somebody's behalf is that they must be adhere to the prudent investor rule. Okay. Now, the next question is, what is the prudent investor rule? Because that's really what this bill that I've got this year, House Bill 13, involves. It just simply says that local governments adhere to the prudent investor rule, and it's basically the same language that other agencies or other entities, I should say, that they work on behalf of follow. And it's also the same language that the treasurer's office itself has. And I guess basically a layman's definition of the prudent investor rule means that there's some guideline on behalf of the investor or by the investor, the person that's managing the money, that requires a fiduciary, that is a manager of funds, to invest assets as if they were his own, that they can't be unduly reckless and things of this nature. And so this bill simply requires that any contract with a party that aids in the investment of local public funds must adhere to the prudent investor rule and requires that they simply submit to the laws of Wyoming insofar as it they adhere to the actions that are consistent with a fiduciary. So that, I guess, is the essence of the bill. I probably oversold it here, but it's just a very simple bill. It's a cleanup bill that should have been part of Senate File 19 1 year ago. And I'd be glad to answer any questions. If there are none, I would call for the question.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the Chairman of Revenue, and you know I've had this discussion, I just want to make this clear that this applies to joint powers boards, which are not a political subdivision or a district. They're defined as a public corporation, which are typically held by political subdivisions. And I think we've had this discussion before, but in my particular district, we have two separate joint powers boards that have reserve funds to help with operation been set up by our taxpayers. And so just I want to make sure we're covered with that.
Chairman Barlow first, then back to Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So thank you. The previous one was a question I had as well. The second, there's two other questions that I would pose, is this both assigns this responsibility to an individual, i.e. the treasurer of one of these things, and to the aggregate, i.e. boards of trustees, boards of directors, et cetera. And I guess my question is it appropriate for an individual to have this responsibility, or should it lie within the context of the entire authority, which would be the board or the boards, et cetera? The reason this comes to mind is because if you look on line 4, it talks about boards of directors of county hospitals. Well, by statute, county hospitals, the boards of those are actually appointed by the boards of county commissions. Mm-hmm. And so does that authority lie within the board of the hospital or within the board of the appointing committee? So that's just a couple of questions about this hierarchy of individuals versus the appointed board versus who has the ultimate authority to appoint the board. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regard to the last question, I think that there isn't a standard answer for that. It would depend on who is responsible for the funds within the local government entity, and the fact that there's I think in the case of a hospital, there could be organized in such a way that they had their own financial manager or financial department or something like that. And if they were interested in securing the services of the treasurer's office, they would have to had adhere to the prudent investor rule. And as far as the other, I'm 99% sure that this is applicable to districts, and I will check on that before the next time this comes up, and I'll talk to the representative about that.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? All right, question being called, and seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of Chairman Nicholas's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 13 do pass, please signify by saying aye. All opposed, say no. The ayes have it. House Bill number 13 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no. The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. Speaker, our committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 45, recommended do pass. House Bill 59, recommended do pass. House Bill 50, recommended do pass. House Bill 18, recommended do pass. House Bill 31, amended. And further amended, following a failed roll call, vote for the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. House Bill 8, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 30, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 33, recommended do pass. And House Bill 13, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Winters, Chairman.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report, Mr. Speaker.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Congratulations, Representative Winters. Representative Flintner.
Mr. Speaker, privilege. I just want to make an introduction. My mom is in the house. So, Linda Swanson, who used to be a Buffalo Bison, and my niece McKenna, who was a Cody Bronc, say hello, everybody.
It's always nice to have Bison and Bronx in the house. Welcome to the house. We are at that order of business of standing committee reports.
House Bill 54, introduced by Representative Lindholm. Taxable value of agricultural land, an act relating to ad valorem taxation. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 54, taxable value of agricultural land, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Larson, Paxton. Noes, Representatives Hallinan, Kinner, Madden, Obermueller. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. House Bill 131, introduced by Representative Sweeney. Disposition of lottery proceeds, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 131, disposition of lottery proceeds, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Furphy, Hallinan, Kinner, Larson, Madden, Obermueller, Paxton. Noes, Representatives Connolly and Dayton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. House Bill 32. Introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Ski Safety Act, an act relating to skiing. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Flitner, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire. Noes, Representatives Clem, Freeman, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. House Bill 80, introduced by Representative Zwanitzer. Transportation Network Companies, an act relating to motor vehicles. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 80, Transportation Network Companies, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Signed, Representative Lindholm, Vice Chairman. House Bill 92, introduced by Representative Larson. Payment of wages upon termination time limits, an act relating to labor and employment. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 92, Payment of Wages Upon Termination Time Limits, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representative Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. House Bill 70, introduced by Federal Natural Resource, Occupational Safety and Health Administration Actions, an act relating to the administration of government. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 70, Occupational Safety and Health Administration Actions, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Excused, Claussen. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. House Bill 96, introduced by Representative Greer, Microbrewery Permits, an act relating to microbrewery permits. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 96, Microbrewery Permits, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, Laux, excused, Claussen. Signed, Representative Laux, Vice Chairman. House Bill 142, introduced by Representative Connolly. Governmental Immunity Waiver for Healthcare Facilities, an act relating to the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 142, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Healthcare Facilities, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, Laux. Excused, Claussen. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
Messages from the Senate.
January 18, 2017. Message number 119. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 6, Radioactive Waste Storage Facilities Amendments. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 120. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 10, County Boards of Equalization. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 121. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 29, Legislative Employees. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 122. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 37, Education, Hathaway Scholarship Program 2. Ayes 25, noes 4, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 123. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 69, Small Employer Health Reinsurance Program Amendments. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 124. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, Federal Land, Wind, and Solar Energy Revenue State Share. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 125. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 63, Department of Family Services Statutory Amendments. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. And message number 126. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 66, Title 25 Payment Obligations, Federal Entities. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, your general file tomorrow are House Bills 54, 131, 80, 92, 70, 96, 142, 32, and 36. And, Mr. Speaker, with that, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday, January 19, 2017.
Committee announcements. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 will meet this afternoon, 10 minutes upon adjournment, in House 37 to consider House Bill 113, Medicaid Waiver Program, Military Personnel, House Bill 119, Senior Citizen Districts, Use of Revenues. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow at noon recess in H-37 to hear the following four bills: House Bill 28, Approved Depositories for Public Funds; House Bill 29, Deposits by Political Subdivisions; House Bill 44, Board of Professional Engineers; and House Bill 56, Mobile Home Title Status.
Thank you. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 in our home room, Jonah, H-38, to consider the following bills: House Bill 75, Automatic Restoration of the Right to Vote; House Bill 87, Return of Victims' Property Held as Evidence; and House Bill 88, Background Checks, Enterprise Technology Services.
Thank you. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet tomorrow after adjournment to study House Bill 78, House Bill 52, House Bill 65, House Bill 117, and House Bill 120.
Vice Chairman Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet immediately upon adjournment in room H-38 to consider four bills: HB 46, American Indian Education Program; House Bill 37, Teacher Accountability; House Bill 77, In-State Tuition AmeriCorps Service; and House Bill 93, Wichee Repayment Program for Veterinary Medicine Students.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in H-36 to discuss House Bill 86, Water Omnibus Spending. And also, we will be having a joint meeting tomorrow afternoon upon adjournment in L-54 that will be a review with the DEQ, and I believe that's also going to be a joint meeting with the Joint Minerals Committee. So lots of folks from lots of committees, so please come join us at that time. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The joint JAC will meet on adjournment tomorrow at 8, tomorrow at 12:30, tomorrow on adjournment. The House JAC will meet tomorrow at 12 to hear House Bill 48 and re-referrals House Bill 66, House Bill 11, House Bill 23.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Chairman Kirkbride.
Privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's Wednesday afternoon when I make my weekly pitch for the legislative prayer breakfast. So a few years ago, my wife and I took a vacation to the East Coast to that beautiful Cape, and we went to a place called the Cypress Swamp. And the Cypress Swamp, you started out, you were right on the edge of the water on the sandy beaches, and you began to hike down sort of in the strangest way, and about 20 minutes later, you found yourself down in this kind of dark, damp pit with bugs all around, and you thought maybe a bad guy would jump out and grab you. So I suggest that we're experiencing something parallel to that. 8 days ago, we were on the sandy beach and the sun was shining, and now that we're in this about eight more days, the bugs are there and maybe the bad guys, and it's dark, and we could use a little pick-me-up. So I invite you to the weekly legislative prayer breakfast tomorrow morning at 6:30 in L-51. We'll be hearing from Thad Brown, who's one of the singing Brown brothers, if you've ever heard him at the chief executive's annual February prayer breakfast. A light homemade breakfast will be served for $5. Spouses, staff, and other elected officials are most welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Kirkbride. And Chairman, that was L-51.
Yes, sir. L-51, yes, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much. Are there any other announcements? Chairman Nicholas.
I forgot to mention that tomorrow at 12:30 also, we will be considering, the JAC will be considering bills for 540, game and fish license fees, 586, license and livestock inspection investigator fees, 609, motor vehicle registration fees, 611, driver's license fees, and 0512, energy science stipends and fellowships.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that clears the deck. You've heard the motion. You've heard the majority floor leader's motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The House is adjourned until tomorrow, Thursday, January 19th at 10 a.m.